We're going to continue on then with our reading of our passage for tonight about what we're calling the devastating power of the tongue. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, who we are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Father, it's a simple topic tonight. It's one that none of us will be surprised that your word emphasizes. And yet, Lord, we might miss how important this is to James and should be to us. Father, we're all guilty of this. Some of these other things that James mentions, we might tend to give ourselves a pass on. But Father, all of us are aware that we violate these truths about our tongue and right speaking, and probably on a daily basis. Lord, help us to be convicted and to be more careful, to realize, to walk worthy every day with the realization that our communication is truly powerful, regardless of who we are, and that its effects are long-lasting. And so, Lord, we need the help of the Spirit to control our speech and our communication, that it may be used for your glory. Let us be convicted of that tonight and allow your Spirit to work in all that we say and do. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, the devastating power of the tongue, as I've said, you know, I can think of an example even now as we begin. That is, if we tend to think, well, you know, what I say, people really don't even pay much attention. It's not that big of a deal. But folks, think back in your life. Think back to hurtful things that other people have said to you. And my guess would be, as you think back on those things, you might even be able to remember where you were, the time of day, who it was, the specific words many times that were said. And even those memories, they remind us of the truth that James is saying. No, you know, we can't afford to look past this. We can see evidence in our own lives that people's speech affects us in powerful ways. And at the same time, even though most of this is sobering, if you have ever had the experience of being able to counsel with someone or encourage them in the Lord and see literally their face light up and the burden fall off as you remind them of the truths of Scripture and the love of Jesus for them or whatever, folks, it is one of the most wonderfully pleasing and satisfying things. Speech used in a right way can have tremendous, powerful results. And we should want that. Because as James shows us here in verses 1 through 5, our communication is one of our most powerful tools. And its power should not be underestimated. And fittingly, James starts out with an admonition to teachers or public speakers. Verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, this, you may read this and think, oh, is he talking about masters? Is he talking about servitude here? And that's one way that it can be translated. There's another way that this can be translated I think is more helpful. And that is like this. This verse can be translated, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so James, even before he says anything further about the tongue, he says, let's talk about those that talk a lot, whether it be pastors, teachers, public speakers. His first admonition comes to us, and it comes to me as well. Why? Because public speakers use communication on such a regular basis that they will have more content to be judged by than others. The more you say, the more there is, the more content there is to be judged by. And what James is really pointing out here, again, something else that we often don't think about. Folks, God pays careful attention to what we say. We may not always remember what we say. I sometimes talk to my boys and I say, why did you say that? Or so-and-so has said that you have said this. Is that true? Well, I don't remember for sure what I said, and I don't remember saying that. And yet, the point is that regardless of whether we remember wrong things that we've said, God is very aware. And it is sobering then for those of us who have more opportunity than others to speak on a regular basis, to be reminded up front, God's listening. And we will be judged with greater strictness because there's more content to judge. Sober warning for me. Sober warning for all of us, those of us who have opportunity to speak. But again, to broaden that principle out, remember, God's listening. He's paying careful attention to every word we say. And he wants us to talk in a right way. And yes, there were some times as well where I followed the wrong example, and being newly into this whole thing of public speaking, there are some times I look back and think I should have been more careful. But over the years, the Lord used those examples in my own wrong patterns of speaking and teaching to imply and to really impress upon me my need to be more careful in my speech. And even today, my prayers, and especially this was also impressed upon me as I would work with young people. You have to be very careful, especially with young people. Sometimes you think that they're joking around with you. Other times they may not be. And if you say the wrong thing or you laugh at the wrong thing, it can be very hurtful to them and they can misunderstand. And I always thought to myself, Lord, I don't want, and I would tell my teens this as we would talk about the power of the tongue. I don't want to say anything that would cause hurt to you and in a wrong way and make you bitter towards me. So if I say something, because I'm going to sooner or later, and James is going to point this out, sooner or later, we're all going to fail in this. You come and talk to me, and I will gladly apologize to you because my right speech before you is that important. And I'm reminded of that even as we read this in James now. Well, he continues on, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. What does that word offend mean? Well, it means really to stumble. You can put it this way. For we all stumble in many ways. And here James, even though he's been very, he's emphasized in a very passionate way many things throughout the book of James that we need to work on. Here he concedes, you know what, sooner or later, we all make mistakes because we also struggle with sin. And he says, we stumble in many ways. And if anyone says, I don't stumble in my speech, it is that nobody really should be able to say that. But he says, if somebody were actually to try to say that, then that person would be literally a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. And what James is saying here, if one could gain total control over your speech, which we can't in this life, but if you could, you could in essence claim perfection, since speech, James is pointing out here, is literally, I think he's emphasizing this, the hardest area of our lives to control. And James says, wow, if you can control that, you must have everything in order. But he's saying this to remind us, none of us are there yet. One day, right, when Jesus returns and we're with him, we will have total control over our speech and we'll always have the right things to say. Won't that be wonderful? I can't think of one of the many glorious blessings about our future with the Lord is that I will never say a dumb thing or a hurtful thing again. My speech will be perfect at that point. Boy, I look forward to that. But folks, we're not there yet. And James reminds us of that. But I think he's hinting here as well that the more spiritually mature we become, the more good can be done with our speech. That's why another reason why we talked about this morning about spiritual maturity and walking worthy, so that our speech matches our relationship with Jesus Christ. Sooner or later, we're all going to flub or do something wrong with our speech, but what a detriment that can be to our testimony, and by God's grace, he can help us. This reminded me, as I thought again, of the importance of talking in a right way and the power of speech. It actually reminded me of going turkey hunting earlier this year. And Bill's here, and he, I was thinking of this example, he took Arden and I out early a couple different mornings on a turkey hunt. And I really appreciated Bill's emphasis on gun safety. He was teaching Arden how to hold the gun correctly and to make sure that even as we were walking as a group, he was holding it in such a way that if something were to happen, we would all be safe, because that gun obviously could have some very devastating effects on us. And that's important with gun safety, to be careful. Why? Because anything can happen. But folks, James is saying this, be careful with what you say, because anything can happen. Better to be guarded than to shoot off your mouth and have devastating effects of that. So be careful. Yes, the power of our speech we should not underestimate. He's going to give us another picture of that in a little bit. But then another thing he says here, it's very interesting. The power of our speech can live up to its reputation. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We'll get to the rest of the examples in just a minute. But you might say, Pastor Brock, really? Can what we say really affect things that much? I think we many times operate under the idea of, you know, I'm not that important. And other people, like the people that are in my life that are over me that speak all the time, what they say is important, but what I say, that's not a big deal. And James here, his admonition is for all of us. It is a big deal. Why? Well, he gives an example here. And we all understand this. I don't have to spend much time with this. A very small bit in the horse's mouth controls the awesome power of that horse. I've known people that have worked with horses, and something unexpected happened, and the horse got spooked, and they kicked up and got kicked in the shoulder or in the leg and had devastating consequences because of that. There's a lot of power, and that little bit can control that horse. That little muscle in our mouths can control everything, can control the direction of our lives. And then this next example of a ship, both verse 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, or they're guided by a very small little rudder, wherever the governor or the will of the pilot directs. And the main point of this illustration, which I'm sure that we have in our own minds, a ship and that small little rudder that does all the work, that a small rudder that does not work properly can literally make a large ship uncontrollable. And folks, when our tongues don't work properly, they make our whole lives literally uncontrollable. If we can't control our tongues, then we are an example of one who doesn't have their life under control. And yet on the positive side, for those that submit what they say to the Holy Spirit, what incredible blessings and incredible direction in ministry and blessings can be had for the person who will submit, just like the power of that horse, to the work of the Spirit in their lives. Incredible ministry. And we need to keep that positive aspect in this, because I will tell you, for the rest of this, James is pretty negative the devastating effects of our speech. But I want us to show here that he does leave room, that our speech can be used, submitted to the Holy Spirit in powerful ways for good. And folks, if God's ever used you in that way, you want nothing better. It convicts you, Lord, I want to help people. I don't want to ever hurt somebody or bring somebody down or have them remember me as bringing hurt and pain in their life when I could have been used to encourage and help. And yes, sometimes exhort and point things out that need to be changed, but in a loving way. Lord, that kind of power I want to see in my life. Luke had a boat here this morning, my son Luke. He was really proud of. Perhaps he showed it to you. His little 2-liter plastic boat that he had made from a 2-liter bottle. I see him on the Zoom screen right here. Luke, hi. I'm talking about your boat. And when he first showed me that, I mean, you guys know. I mean, the Lord's just given him an ability to make things that just blows me away. When he came out and showed me this, here's the remote control, Dad, and here's how it works, the boat. I'm just like, kid. This is amazing. Where'd you come up with this? I promise you, I didn't sit down with him and lay out a list of plans for how he can make this. I wish I was that capable of being able to do that. I just stand back and like, wow, that's remarkable. And he shows me this and how it works. Well, he went out today and we took some video of him working this thing. And he said, Dad, here's the propellers in the back. And this works this way, and this works this way. And if this doesn't work this way, then this won't go the way that I want it to. And if this one here on the left doesn't work as I turn it this way, then it's going to mess up, and it's not going to work in a right way. And that was a perfect reminder to me about what James is talking about. If our tongue isn't working in the right way, controlled by the Spirit, we're always going to veer off course. An uncontrolled tongue will take place that you never wanted to go in hurting people and the devastation that it brings. Folks, the tongue is powerful. Three valid points here that are applications of what James is talking about here. I didn't get this. I didn't come up with this. This was from another author, but this was very helpful, I thought. The tongue is the instrument through which the power is channeled. It starts in our heart, but the tongue channels that power. A second important observation, the importance of the tongue is vastly out of proportion to its size. In the way, how does an atomic bomb go off? Well, you have that little tiny particle that moved and manipulated in the right way that we can't even see can create this horrendous explosion that can cause so much devastation. And why do I bring that up? Because again, folks, we tend to look at our tongues as it's not a big deal. Well, it is. It's powerful. Another observation, number three, the tongue never goes rogue on its own. It's always controlled by the person. You can't blame it. Well, you know, my tongue, I just say these things and they just come out and I have no control. You know, no, what's in your heart? Because whatever's coming out, it's controlled. It represents the heart of the person. And he says this. This is interesting. Okay, verse 5. Sorry about that. Verse 5 says this. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. The tongue is small, but it can do a lot of damage. You getting the idea here? But interesting when he says boasteth great things. What is he referring to there? Is he just saying that be careful because the tongue tends to boast and be prideful? Well, that might be an application of this, certainly. But it really, he's saying something a little bit different. You ever heard that term, it's not boasting if you can do it? That's really what James is saying here about the tongue. He's saying if the tongue could boast about its power, that would be legitimate because the tongue does have a lot of power. The tongue has a legitimacy if it's boasting of its power because it is powerful. And we need to treat it that way. And now for the rest of our time here, he's going to point out as we look at this how powerful and the tongue used in the wrong way, our speech used in the wrong way, the devastation that that can bring. The second part there of verse 6, behold, be amazed, be forewarned, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, or how great in context here in the translation you could translate, I think this is better, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. This small fire has the idea of a little spark. And James gives a picture now of a little fire or spark that literally starts a huge inferno. It's the way my mind works, but this illustration made me think of when I was a kid watching Saturday morning cartoons. Like, what does that have to do with anything, Pastor Brock? When I was a kid and you would watch cartoons, especially in the morning, and they would, at times, you know, all the advertisements that were on at that point, but they would always throw in some things that just really didn't fit. And that was these very serious, and to me, they were scary ads about, remember Smokey the Bear? And these ads, and a lot of them weren't this nice, funny little, you know, cartoon about Smokey coming out and, hey, kids, be careful about that fire. Okay, Smokey. No, that wasn't it. It was these very intense, serious things, where a small or somebody would leave a cigarette or would start a spark, and all of a sudden this huge inferno, and you see these very disturbing pictures, the cameras moving around and animals are trapped in flames and all of this. And I remember for some reason one particular one that really disturbed me was a slow pan of it started at the bottom. It was in a forest and it started at the base of a tree and it moved its way up, and as it went up, it went through, it gave different sound bites from history, and it basically represented how long that tree had been alive. Are you following me? Then you get to the top of the tree, and this little match, somebody, I don't know, there wasn't anybody in the tree, so I never figured out how the match, but somehow this match fell, and it went right to the ground, and this fire starts erupting, and the point was made that here these trees had been here a long time, and one little match can create such devastation. Well, that disturbed me as a small kid because I'm looking at this saying, hey, all I want to do is watch cartoons. I don't want to feel bad about, you know, forest fires and devastation in all of this. But, you know, the same kind of thing, we can have the same kind of reaction to what James is talking about here. One ember that can destroy tens and hundreds of acres, as we've seen in the forest fires out west that happened many times. And we may tend to say in our lives, hey, things are going good, James. Look, I'm enjoying my life. Don't start all that serious stuff about the tongue and about the power of the tongue. I'm okay, you know. Nobody's hurt from what I say. Nobody listens to me anyway. James doesn't allow us that reaction. He says, no, our speech can be even more powerful than that small little ember that starts that huge destructive forest fire. And the second part here as we continue on is that our communication can literally wreak spiritual devastation. And it's capable of every kind of evil. Let's look at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. This has the idea of the tongue is capable of any and all kinds of wrongdoing. It's capable of all of that. Really? Yes, all of that can be communicated by a person's speech. So it is a world of unrighteousness, of wrongdoing. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth, staineth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, course of life, and is set on fire of hell. James goes to the extreme here that's shocking to us, to show us how devastating our speech can be. All kinds of wrongdoing it's capable of. That second picture there, of it setting on fire the course of our lives, has the idea of even one little drop of poison that can taint the whole contents of a vessel. And that out of control speech can affect affect every area of our lives. And if we let it go on, it can totally corrupt our lives. We don't take what we say that seriously, do we? But in case we still haven't got the point, then this most vivid picture is that it is set on fire of hell. And hell here is the Greek word Gehenna. And that is the place where in the worst days of Old Testament history, it was outside. It was in a spot outside of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And it was a valley where literally child sacrifice was performed by false gods at the lowest times in Israel's spiritual history. By New Testament times, it had literally become a garbage dump. It was like the Jewish people looked at that place and the memories were so horrendous. They said, all that place is fit for is our garbage. And they would burn garbage there. And the fires would be going continually, even throughout the night. And it would have a horrible, putrid smell. And it was literally a vivid, visible illustration to the Jewish people, the people living there in Jerusalem, of what eternal punishment might be like. Well, why would James go to this extreme? Our speech is set on fire of hell? Well, I think we know that he means, doesn't mean that just because we say some things out of control or we say wrong things that somehow we're liable to go to hell. Okay, we know our gospel too well for that. That's in no way what James is talking about here. But he is pointing this out, and he seems to be saying the best, I think, interpretation of this is that uncontrolled speech is like, or it reflects those that are destined for eternal punishment. And also, I think it's this as well. I think James, because of what we talked about last week in the last couple of weeks, James is saying, if you don't have any guilt or any concern about your speech and how you're coming across and you don't see any need to control your speech at all, I think James is referring back to maybe the Holy Spirit really isn't a part of your life because you're making a false claim for Christ. And maybe you are being destined to go to that place because this type of uncontrolled wrong speech, where does it ultimately come from? It comes from those who are destined to go to eternal punishment forever, Satan and all of his followers. So James says, check your life. If you don't have any guilt over this, there's something wrong. There's something broken. And if you are a true believer, don't live your life in example of Satan himself and what Satan does. Extreme examples here, but James really wants to point this out. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. All kinds of really scary creatures can be tamed. Whatever, you know, you think of as a scary creature. A lion or a tiger or a snake or whatever. There are folks that love to train those types of animals, and they are usually, most of the time, very good about training those so that they do what they want them to do. I do have to admit, I thought of the Far Side comic, though. I used to read those a lot. Some of them were funny, some of them were not. But there was one in particular where there was not a zookeeper, but it was a guy, a circus performer that was in charge of, directing the lions, the lion tamer. And the lions were all lined up in a row there, and he's got that little whip or whatever he uses. And most of them are sitting up straight watching him, but the last two are having a conversation. And the last lion in the line they all have these muzzles on. And the last one has his muzzle off and in his hands, and he's whispering to the guy next to him. He says, hey, look, these things just snap right off. Like they're starting to realize, oh, wait a minute. We don't have to be controlled by this anymore. I'm sorry. That's just something that came to mind as we were thinking about this. But those types of powerful beasts can be tamed. But James says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly or restless evil full of deadly poison. And this is the picture of an evil that is never satiated, that is restless, that's always looking for something else wrong to do. And when our tongues are not controlled by the Spirit of God, then we can fit this picture. Can our tongues be tamed by God, by the Holy Spirit? Certainly. But if we won't submit to that, then we're worse than a wild creature that has gotten out, that is untamed. And we're always then looking for how we can use our speech for evil. It's full of deadly poison, like that picture we talked about earlier. And then James gives examples. Because he's pointed out at this point that your tongue is capable of every kind of evil. I hope in these vivid pictures you've seen that. But then he points specifically to the church folks, and he says, you're also capable of great hypocrisy when you won't control your tongue. Look at these situations here. Therefore we bless, verse 9, the God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And unfortunately, we can readily understand what he's talking about here, because we have seen people do this, and sooner or later we've been guilty of this ourselves, where we talk to some people, maybe it's someone in the church, and we have all kinds of nice things to say about them. Oh, that's great. And then they leave, and behind their back, they're literally, sometimes we can, and the sin remnant that's left within us can curse them and say, oh, that person, blah, 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 blah. Are we capable of that? If we're honest, sometimes, yeah, we can do that. And James says that's a wrong way to use communication. And he's reminding us, if you're capable of that, you're capable of all kinds of wrong. And he pleads with his brethren, brethren, this should not be. You're a hypocrite. Don't act like you like somebody and then curse them behind their back. That's wrong speech. And then these final examples. Does a fountain send forth at the same place fresh, sweet water and bitter? Can you have a water spring that has both fresh water and bitter? The answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Can you go to a fig tree and all of a sudden olives pop out off the stem? No, that's not going to happen. Either a vine, or this is a grapevine. Can a grapevine produce figs? No, the answer is. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Or basically you could say, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And maybe he's thinking even about the Dead Sea and all of the salt that you'd have to remove. You ever had a situation? Well, I'll describe it this way. We have the salt shaker at our house that it's hard to see the salt coming out of it. And there are times where I'll use it. And I had some eggs the other day and I salted them and I thought, just a little bit of salt, not a lot. And I went to eat that and I had dumped, without realizing it, dumped salt on it, and it totally ruined it. I tried to eat a couple bites, and finally I just had to stop and throw it away. Because once there was too much salt, it had ruined the whole experience. And that's really the picture that James is saying here. Too much salt ruins the experience, and it can't be fresh again. You can't take that salt back in that particular situation. So what is he saying here in the end? He's calling on believers, with all of this in mind, the church, to take seriously what they say in their communication, in our communication, pastors, teachers, all of us, because what we say really does matter. God's listening, and it's that powerful. No, I'm a nobody. Nobody cares about me. No, your speech is powerful, too. None of us get an out on this. So be careful. Take the time to think through. We tell our boys this on a regular basis. Think through before you say it. Don't just everything that comes to mind, don't let it come on out like unfiltered. But filter it. Filter it by God's word. Is this necessary? Is this good? Is this right? Is this fresh water? Or am I, as some young people like to say, am I being salty? Am I being mean or cruel? God can help us, folks, with this, and the Spirit is ready. But we have to take this more seriously than what we do. Let's commit to the Lord to help us with our speech, even this week. Father, thank you for your word, for this reminder to be careful of what we say, because it's powerful. Lord, let our experience with our folks here be that they experience the blessings of right, encouraging communication. that lifts people up. What a blessing it is to be used in that way. And Lord, let us not be guilty of causing great damage to your cause and to the church because we just won't control our mouths. Help us. Help us to be humble and submissive to the Spirit's work in this in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.